Welcome to the Ether. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2023. Today on the Ether, the Noise Network, first community call. Let's take a listen.
So maybe we can make a quick round of the table. I mean, we're not so many. So eventually, if you would like to request to speak, or otherwise, if you don't feel like it, you can also post a message and say, what you do, and just present yourself. I can start. So my name is Kais. I am Katarina in Discord. Why Katarina? Because it's my League of Legends character. Yeah. So I've been working a lot with Noise, but also before that, I was working on Terra Vegas, but in like what my actual full-time job is more DevOps. And I've been doing DevOps a lot with some banks in Europe. That's where I'm based pretty much. That's me, Simon.
Yeah, and, Simon, that's me. Thank you very much. Kais. Some people might know me from Cosmosm and Confio. That is actually my main job. I work at Confio 4 days a week. And Noise is a project that was kind of born out of the work around Cosmosm, where in 2020 I built some early prototypes about the idea of verifying DRAND random beacons in order to be able to get randomness into smart contracts. So this is something that always fascinated me, technologically super interesting. At Noise, I'm one of the co-founders. I do a lot of the smart contract development, naturally being very familiar with the Cosmosm smart contracting stack. This is how we build our application, and this is how we do the IBC interaction between different chains. I'm a coder, but also sometimes serve as an all-rounder in this position of getting things started. So if anyone else wants to introduce themselves and say who they are, just say hi. Please feel free to request the mic. We are a very small group, so don't be too shy, but otherwise we would continue with some of the points that we want to share. And we have the first one.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Nice. Hello, guys. I'm Long. I'm from Aura Network. We are kind of very new, Cosmos-based, Cosmos 10. We are launching soon, and we heard about Noise a couple months ago when we are developing our own marketplace, NFT marketplace on using Cosmos. We did a bit of research and try to do the same things as Harmony did in their chain by validator submitting some of the randomness number to the chain, but then we found Noise, and it is exactly what we are looking for. So we try to contact with Katarina and then Simons, and then deploy the third random proxy on our chain. It works pretty well. We did host a few random game with validators, and everybody have good feedbacks. I'm looking forward to have more collaboration in the future. Thanks.
Very nice. Welcome to Noise. Welcome to the Cosmos ecosystem. We have some other person who wants to introduce, Skynode.
Hi, guys. I'm a Skynode representing the community Let's Not team. We are the Ukrainian and Russian speaking community and participating a lot in the beginning of every, trying to participate in every cool project based on Tendermint. And me and Lisnik, we are working together and providing and technical support for test mainnet launch for Kinesis, and I can or do some kind of tutorials, guides, can be also helpful in admin and by administrating the channel and Telegram groups, etc. So also afterwards providing the staking service and staking for in a lot of chains, and be very happy to join you guys and trying to show our best.
Welcome, thank you very much. What was the name of the project again?
A project called Let's Note.
Let's Note.
Exactly. Yeah, and right. Listening cool. Utsa with me. The best, okay. Our best Cosmo expert.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nice.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cool. So any more people want to also present themselves? Or you can also feel free to just drop a message if you don't feel like speaking or you don't have your microphone with you, because we have external devices. Now, otherwise, let's go further to, let's introduce Noise, because, I mean, a lot of people have been seeing the documentation or creating validators, but maybe it's nice to have like somebody actually from the team actually introducing it and why it's there and what problem it solves. So maybe Simon, you'd like to introduce Noise?
Yeah, sure. So I try to start from the very beginning, but I probably will miss some stuff, but I hope it helps anyways. Noise is born around the idea to make random beacons available for smart contract developers. This is historically an issue because if you run a blockchain, any sort of blockchain system, then you cannot easily get random values, because the way that consensus works and the way that smart contracts works is all the nodes in the blockchain network, they all have the same state, they all have the same smart contract, they all have the same inputs. Now, everybody does the same computation, and everybody has their outputs, and those outputs are written to state. And if any of those nodes comes to a different calculation result than the other nodes, they fall out of consensus. So now imagine every node accessing their local random number generator to get a random number, then every node would get a different value. And this different value is then fed into a computation, and the result of this computation is stored. And then everybody sees, oh, I have a different state of the blockchain than all the other nodes. And everything falls apart and falls out of consensus, and the blockchain halts from that. Now, getting on generating good randomness initially is hard. Getting it onto a blockchain is hard. But we found this very interesting project called DRAND back in 2020. And what DRAND does is it creates a consortium of organizations that use threshold cryptography to generate random values. And what that gives us is a random number generator that is unbiased and that cannot be manipulated from any single party. So you could imagine that if someone controls the random number generator, and participates in a lottery, then this is obviously very bad because, well, what they can do is just say, yeah, I use a random value that that makes me win this game. And even if they cannot change the random value, but predict the random value, they can say, yeah, the next random value will result to that outcome. So I decide whether or not I participate in a certain game round based on my knowledge of the randomness. And all of this is something that you obviously want to avoid, and DRAND solves that for us. DRAND itself has nothing to do with blockchain. It is a peer-to-peer network that is entirely unincentivized. It's a proof of authority, if you want to use that term, kind of system where you have organizations that talk to each other and do their due diligence on each other and figure out, hey, do we want to include this new organization into the team or not? So this is pretty solid. It has been running smoothly for the last more than 2 years. And what DRAND gives us is random beacons, which is a random value together with a signature. And this signature is something that we can verify on chain to ensure that the random value that we get is actually generated by the DRAND network. And what Noise is then doing is verifying those random beacons on the Noise blockchain. So Noise is an app chain in the Cosmos ecosystem, and providing this verified DRAND beacon to the IBC world, to every other blockchain that is connected to Noise and wants to use those random values and does not want to do all the hard stuff itself. So we make that technology very easily accessible in the entire interchain. That is Noise, at least.
Maybe I have a question here. I mean, I know the answer to the question, but I think it's kind of like a common question to ask for any crypto project, like how is this going to make money to people, right? Like, it's just, how is this economically viable?
Yeah, so Noise as a blockchain is providing a service to consumer chains, to chains that access this service. So the way it works is whenever you request a random beacon over IBC to the Noise network, you need to pay that that beacon request. So you pay a small amount of Noise tokens as a product fee for Noise to provide the service.
All right, thank you, Simon. Maybe other questions? Like, just feel free along all this call to just request to speak if you have any questions. Otherwise, we could go to the next step for this community call. So last week, if you remember, we've sent a form for all, mainly for validators, but for everybody who was pretty much willing to interact more with the team. And then we asked people for a bit of feedback and more specifically what they didn't like about Noise. So I gathered a bit like the feedback, and then I kind of made some kind of like groups. So I thought maybe we could go through those. And then after we go through all these quick questions, then we can discuss them with everybody, see what you guys think about those, see if there are other things that you think are not good, or how do you see the project, what things you think we should improve. So maybe Simon, you could go through those points, and I'll try to go with you to make it interactive.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So the first question that people had or were wondering about is why there is no marketing and almost no presence on social media, and why we have no events with noise.
All right. So, well, the reason why there is no marketing is that, very simple, we don't have any money. So that's why, I mean, of course, you can do organic stuff. We're trying to do that. But there are also, it's a bit different from other projects that directly target the end user, right? If we had a platform to make for NFTs or even DeFi, we would need to have a lot of people, a lot of Web3 users that come to interact. We need a lot of, to go pretty much viral for the space. But in this case, it's a bit different. Well, we still need marketing, but it's a bit different. We want to attract more developers, because at the end of the day, those developers, when they start using Noise, it will be in their incentive to actually promote their product, whether it be it a D app for gaming, gambling, or anything that requires randomness. So it's more like we need to kind of offer the best support for developers. Still need some marketing, which we'll try to work on. It doesn't mean that in the future we don't want to have marketing. It's just for now, it hasn't been the priority yet. Almost no presence of social media as well. Well, we try our best. We're trying to improve. You can see probably maybe in the last couple of weeks, we're trying to make that. But yeah, there is definitely needs to be a huge improvement on that side. And for the events, now we're trying. This is the first community call. So let's take it from here, see what people think, and try to get more reach with this pretty much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And one minor point to add here is that on the sales side, we are quite well connected in the Cosmosm ecosystem as well. I'm one of the maintainers of Cosmosm, so we talk to a lot of people very directly who want to build using this technology. Cool. The second question is, a thing that people wondered about, is why the chain is too decentralized, only 45 validators.
You mean too centralized, right? Not too decentralized.
Too centralized, right. We only have 45 validators right now in the testnet. A critique is that there's no validator rotation and there's no testnet incentive.
Yeah, I think there are two points here to point out to. So for the centralization part, I think the number in most, at least in Cosmos ecosystem, the main problem for centralization is not generally the number of validators, but actually the distribution of voting power. For now, for our testnet, we have everybody kind of has this, about the same voting power, which will lead to we can accept the third of 45 because now we have 45 maximum validators in the active set, and we have, so it's like about the third, so we can handle even 15, 16 nodes to be down, and the network will still produce blocks. So I think that's pretty good. Although, yes, we don't have a good rotation for the validators in the testnet. Well, the main issue is that we were too focused on the development of the product we don't have enough. We didn't put priority on rotation. We did some rotation, but indeed that is not enough. The centralization part, the reason why we put it to 45 and not, let's say, 150 is because of the nature of the blockchain is to provide randomness at a quite good speed. And to be able to do that, we need to kind of increase the block time. So we are not, most of the chains in Cosmos are using now 5 to 6 seconds, but at Noise we're now producing about one block every 2 to 2.5 seconds, and that requires really a smaller set of validators because the overhead of the network is less, you have less block signatures, things like that. Yeah, Simon?
Yeah, I think that that's basically it. There's the last point was regarding testnet incentive. I think here we were hit a little bit by surprise. The first testnet, we did not even intend to open up for external validators. And people were just coming and coming and coming and registering their validators and wanting to participate. And we were not really prepared for that, to be honest. So the focus was to have some sort of Cosmosm chain running and to focus on the smart contract development first. But now we have a very active and colorful validator set, which is obviously very cool. And we are very grateful to have all those people joining the community and wanting to engage. So this is something that we missed a little bit. We'll later talk about tokenomics a little bit, so we're going to touch on this incentivization part. Question number three, next topic. There are no tokenomics available, and there's no visibility into the mainnet launch.
All right. Well, tokenomics has been the biggest issue because we were trying to get the numbers right from the beginning. I feel like it was really hard. Every time we come up with some numbers from the beginning and then we change them and then we try, it was a bit hard. And then I think that was the biggest, like the task that took the longest time. But well, we actually, this task was so hard that we decided to kind of make a meet, a team, whatever, call it a trip, just for this, for the sake of tokenomics. And that was like last week. We made this in Tunisia, in North Africa. We made 1 week, kind of, to just do tokenomics. Now we have something, a draft that is almost ready. You could say it's ready, that we will launch, we will publish it this week. Well, we are on Friday. We'll publish it next week, hopefully. So then we wait for the for what people think, and then you can just provide the feedback. For no visibility when mainnet launch, maybe Simon, you could take that one.
Yeah, so part of the retreat that we made together was to get a very clear idea of what are the steps towards mainnet, what needs to be done. Because it's very easy to communicate one date and then figure out, there's also this task and that task and all those million little things that you only see when you are getting closer. But now I think we have a very good roadmap that that shows what we need to do the next 6 weeks. And we, one of the first items on the agenda is to publish a Road to Mainnet article that shows you when we aim to launch mainnet and also what are the steps towards mainnet, such that you can keep track, okay, is this actually happening? Is this realistic? And if there's a delay, we can also explain, hey, why are things not in time as we wish them to be? But yeah, we are definitely targeting a launch in 6 weeks, and it should not take longer than 2 months for mainnet to launch.
Thank you.
All right.
What's next?
Moving on to question number four. The faucet is not working.
I just fixed it this morning. So I think should be, no, on a more serious note. So we put a faucet like an API. I think this is mentioning the API, not the Discord one. And the one that you can just call through the API, pretty much just you just call it and then it gives you 10 noise. The reason why, well, at the beginning it broke. It's not like we put it on purpose. And then I fixed it and then it broke and then I fixed it. And then I said, okay, actually, this the problem here is that actually when I say broke is because it's drained. because people keep on getting tokens, but that we know, like, it's so easy to drain that faucet, so we just put it to Discord. That's the quick answer. I think there's it's just working better on Discord. It's easier to you have one, you make your identity thing on Discord. You can check that the person is, like, you can't easily make 20 Discord accounts on, but you can easily make 20 or 100 addresses and call the faucet API. Yeah, that's so I think this is a minor thing, but I think the bigger problem here is that the documentation is not updated, and I agree we should focus probably more on on documentation and making that up to date, so people don't just waste their time checking on that.
Cool, thank you. I hope this clarifies this question a bit. The next question is, the dev work is not visible. What can we do here?
Yeah, well, I think one main problem here, I think I agree with this one, is because, well, the code is not open source. I mean, some of the code is open source, some of the code is not open source. Well, it's always a compromise, right? Like, whether you launch directly open source from the beginning, and then obviously it's more you have better transparency, but at the same time, other people or other projects can just steal your work. But one thing we do believe in is that if we are launching mainnet, there is no way that the code is not open source. Actually, we want to allow enough time for everybody to check the code and all the code before, like, we need to give some time for everybody, for anybody wanting to audit the code or just to check for their own safety, of course. I think we can release all the code next week. Simon, what do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a pleasure bringing that to the public visibility. I'm very happy with the current state of development, so I'm proud to show that to the world. And we can do that. We have a release of the whole suite of contracts pending with a lot of new features and improvements. And as part of this release, we can open source the code. And then you can basically track us on GitHub and follow everything, a single commit and everything, a single comment that we do on a high level project planning board, but also on a more, more inline code basis. And if you have anything to contribute, feel free.
But also, like, for the people who are maybe not, for the non-dev people, maybe it also worth pointing out that we also have a project, like, how do you call it, the GitHub thing where you could see, it's called project, I think, where you could see all the tickets and then where they move.
It's called project on GitHub, and it's basically a Kanban board where you have visibility into the tickets, and they move from left to right on their way from ideation over refinement, in process, in review, done.
I think we shared that like last month or a couple months ago, but I don't remember where the link was, but I know it's public, so everybody can say that, but we probably need to share it a second time.
Absolutely. We have two more open questions. The next one here is, the community does not know the team and the investors.
For the team, we're pretty much, the team is a bit hard to define, right? Like, we started as four co-founders. Me, Simon, and then there is also Nicola, who's pretty much the DRAND creator. And then there's also Anthony, who is, for the ones who are familiar with Terra, like Classic, there was a lottery called Loterra, and Anthony was the main developer for Loterra. But for the team, as we started, we have more people that are now contributing. So it's not just us who are adding stuff. There's also there's also a lot of new people contributing. There's also Leturet, for example, who is doing a lot of stuff, who makes who made like a nice simulator tool, but is also actively contributing to the project as well, and a lot of people are helping. So that also part of the team. It's not an official thing kind of to be in a team or no. But for the investors, actually we don't have any investor. So if you want to invest, maybe, no. So the reason, like, we're not getting any VCs, and that's a choice because we don't think we need the money. And we have enough resources in the team to make the whole project, at least for now. Maybe after we launch a mainnet, then we would grow more and we would need some investment, but some investing rounds. But for now, I don't see the need for it. Simon, what do you think about any points to add?
Just want to add that it's great to have no investors. It's great to be super independent. It's great to not have a certain pressure from outside. It's great to not spend massive amounts of time with legal structures, with lawyers, with contracts, with negotiations, with keeping partners happy. So this is a lot of resources that we can invest into the community, into the product itself. Quite happy with
it. But you are investing, Simon, a bit, like, I think like $9 for the DNS and how much for the hosting of the website?
So I'm actually paying $20 a month for the website and almost $20 for the CI system, but that's about it.
Cool. Okay, how many questions left?
The last one. There are only 6 bots that get incentivized when submitting randomness to the DRAND backend.
Okay, so only 6 bots get incentivized. So just to give more context, this is about when you run that Docker or the bot that keeps on pushing the randomness beacon to the noise chain for verification. So pretty much we're referring to the DRAND bot channel on Discord. So to give more context about that, actually at the beginning we didn't, like when we were starting, we said, okay, we're just gonna incentivize the first person or bot that is going to bring randomness from DRAND. And what does that bot do actually? That bot is just listening to an API from DRAND. It gets the randomness. It's just a simple, a small JSON containing the round number and the signature. And then it just gets that and then dumps, just broadcasts a transaction in the chain where it says, okay, this is, I want to verify this. And then the smart contract verifies that. And then we said, okay, we're just going to incentivize the faster bot because, you obviously want to have the fast, you want to incentivize the best and fast. But the problem here we start seeing is that if we do that, then maybe there's going to be one or two entities that are going to compete with each other because they have a well-connected server, super powerful server that is connected to nice RPCs. And then they're just going to get all the incentive. That is good because they are being fast, so they kind of deserve it. But the problem is the day they actually decide to go off, or the day they're simply their infrastructure breaks or they're experiencing some downtime, that moment our chain will not be will not generate any randomness, will not bring any randomness from DRAND. And that's a problem. So we need to accept to incentivize more people. We kind of need to accept more DRAND submissions from the same round. and still incentivize all those. So what we're actually doing here, we don't need for every round, technically speaking, not so we don't need 20 rounds or 100 rounds. Even one round, it provides us the data we need, and then we can process anything that comes from the DAP level to process the randomness. But the reason why we're processing more than one is because we want to add more resiliency in case of some derand bots stop operating. The one question here is, why don't we just add 100 to incentivize 100? Well, the short answer is that, well, if you do that, then it's a lot of overhead for the chain, and then we will risk to overload the chain with requests, but also overload the database, and then the nodes will not only be slower, but also more expensive, and it's a whole cycle of improving performance. Yeah, so we thought that 6 bots would be a good compromise. But also, Simon lately introduced a new thing for this. Maybe you would want to talk about it quickly.
Yeah, so the idea is to split the submitting bots into two groups, the group A and the group B. And every bot can submit randomness for every round. So there's no permissioning in who is allowed to submit randomness. However, you're only getting rewards for one of the rounds, either the odd rounds or the even rounds. And what that gives us is a broader set of operators that are engaged and that know how to interact with the technology, and they know how to run a bot. Such that we have more than 10 people that are engaged, which is cool because and then we have twice the amount of capable operators that could also spawn a bot for the other group if needed, while at the same time avoiding that we have unnecessary load on the blockchain.
Cool. Thank you. So next on the agenda, we still have two things on the agenda. So questions, actually three things. So questions from everybody here, whether regarding the points we just mentioned, or just questions directed to us that are not related, doesn't really matter, or even questions to other validators. So yeah, after that, yeah. So whoever wants to, whoever has a question, just go ahead and ask. Okay. I have a question for Simon. So why are we making out of noise a blockchain and not just a dApp? Oh, we have another question. Somebody has a question. We can go through that first. Yeah. Simon, why are we making a chain out of noise, like a whole blockchain, whereas we can just simply put a dApp and then just put that dApp everywhere in every blockchain? Like if Juno needs randomness, well, we put a contract on Juno, noise contract.
So this is a model that we had in the past on Terra. There was a project called Terrant, which verified DRAND beacons on the Terra blockchain. However, this beacon signature verification is quite heavy. So this is computationally heavy. It's a BLS signature verification. This is not something as fast as SECP that we use to sign transactions. It's a very different technology. It consumes a lot of gas. And if you're on a blockchain that has a lot of usage in the block space, then this will cost a lot of fees, and it will pollute that blockchain's block space quite a lot. So the decision to have our own chain actually means that we have control over our block space. We say, okay, this is how we want to use the capacity of the chain. And we do the verification only once on our chain. And then the chains that use the randomness, they don't need to do the verification on their chain. They just do a simple IBC messaging communication, which is just exchanging messages and using the security properties of IBC to ensure that the messages that they receive are actually coming from our chain. And once you know, okay, it's coming from the right chain and this chain is safe and secure, then you know this is a nicely verified DRN beacon.
Thank you. Long, would you like to ask a question?
Yes. So I just want to ask, is there any plan to improve the speed of the randomness? So at least in my chain, we have to kind of have a like a backup short of randomness source. We take from random.org. So like either it's coming from noise or either it's coming from randomness.org or random.org. Or then we're gonna take it. So I just want to know: is there any plan in the future to basically to provide a better services to consumer chain?
Yeah, I can answer this one. So pretty much the time it takes from the so the quick answer is yes, but I'm just gonna give a quick context. So the time it takes from the randomness from the DAP or the person asking the a DAP to for randomness, like whether be it a person that is spinning a wheel or whatever, is the time from the DAP. So the DAP is sending the message to a noise proxy, and then the then there is the IBC going to the noise chain. So a relay are passing that transaction, and then the noise chain actually waits for the round to happen on DRAND level, and then somebody a DRAND bot submits that, and then once it's submitted, the noise chain is actually sending back the message to the consumer chain, and then hence to the DAP. The thing is, all this process, most of this process, doesn't take so long, but the long part is actually the DRAND, which takes 30 seconds exactly. So pretty much DRAND generates this network of DRAND, which is not a blockchain as Simon mentioned, but still decentralized. It generates 30 one randomness every one randomness round every 30 seconds. The good news is that they are opening a network now. There's it's actually already on testnet, and I think by the beginning of next month in March, it's gonna be 3 seconds instead of 30 seconds. And that's gonna make a huge impact on the performance for the randomness because, yeah, well, you have instead of 30 seconds of round, it's gonna be 3. So divide by 10. We were discussing a lot whether we need to include this network, which is much faster in mainnet directly. Or we move to mainnet, then we bring it to testnet, and then mainnet. But definitely, like within, this is definitely one main point in the plan to move to the new DRAND network that is much faster. Simon, maybe you'd like to add something?
So the new DRAND mainnet will either have 3 seconds or 5 seconds per beacon. It's not entirely finalized what value they will go with. Do they play it safe? Do they play it a little bit faster on mainnet? We don't know the final numbers yet. However, it will definitely going to be much faster than the 30 seconds that we have right now. We actually, in order to avoid an overload of our blockchain, we will most likely go with 15 seconds. So reducing the or speeding up the blockchain randomness on noise by the factor of 2. And do not take every DRAND randomness that would theoretically be available, because we need to be a little bit careful with our verification and our block time, and also We can always improve the speed later on if we are seeing potential to optimize that. But yeah, by the time Noise will launch, we will most likely be half the round times that we have right now.
Just a question for Long. What is the performance you think would be? What performance would you think is good enough or workable for the And what is during that time that is happening? Like while you're waiting for the randomness, what is actually happening from the other side? Pretty much.
It depends. We are an NFT chain, and we do have some of the few games we are building on, including mini games and so on. So yeah, so like if the randomness is slow, then we have to compromise it somehow. Right now it's 30 seconds, right? So we can just bundle up a bunch of requests and then take the DRAM for every 30 seconds. But then, like I said, we have a another source of randomness, which is from random.org. I think they kind of like 2 to 5 seconds per random number. We also take that. Basically, we just want to serve as much as possible. So as long as it's like just like a random number every one or two blocks, that could be really good. Or else, like everything, we have to wait, right?
Yeah. So I mean,
including even if somehow it's the network or the bot have problems, it doesn't receive the result. So we also have to wait to another round. Then it's not going to be very user friendly.
Yeah. Just make a super long UI with a spinning wheel that is very very slow. Hypnotizing the user and then, no, but yeah, I definitely think with the new DRAND round, it's gonna be much better. So yeah, I hope it gives a better user experience, at least from your end. Skynode, you have a question?
Yeah, guys. Sorry, maybe for the newbie question. But as I understood correctly, you're really providing a true random numbers, right? Not like a pseudo random numbers, what is pretty easy and probably to do. Is it true?
The question is what the difference is really. So there are certain properties that the random numbers that we get from DRAND have, and if your application needs those properties, then you should be good. The random beacons are generated actually in a deterministic way. So there's multi-party computation, there are round numbers, then BLS signature BLS threshold signatures are used. To ensure that only with a threshold amount of nodes in the network that provide partial signatures, and all those partial signatures are then combined together, they will provide a combined signature for that round, which is the source of randomness. If you then consider that pseudo-random or random, I think that's, well, yeah, up to scientific definitions that I'm right now not entirely confident of how things are defined. But certainly the quality of the randomness has been studied. The DRAND codebase was audited. And what we know is that we get a 32-byte value, which is uniformly distributed, so that that has enough entropy and that is good enough for all the applications that you can imagine in a smart contract. One other point regarding DRAND and the quality of the The randomness is that DRAND serves as the random number generator of Filecoin. So the Filecoin blockchain requires DRAND randomness in order to produce blocks. The way, very high level, how Filecoin works is that there are miners, and the miners can produce blocks if they prove that they store certain data. Because the idea around Filecoin is to incentivize storing files on IPFS and make sure those files are always available. Now, they need randomness in order to ask the miners to prove that they the miners store a certain data. And without this randomness, well, there are no blocks in Filecoin. And the Filecoin community, as well as all the very brilliant technical team behind that, as well as all the economic power of Filecoin, makes us very confident that the quality of randomness is very, very good.
Cool. Thank you very much. And it means that they're using Duran algorithm somewhere in their protocol, right? And you can produce also a kind of random number, I would say so, and store it, I would say so, decentralized, right?
Yeah, so they actually in Filecoin use the exact DRAND mainnet that we are also using, not only the same protocol, but also the same set of participants in the threshold signature process. So yeah, thank you for the question.
Thank you very much for the answer. Cool, guys, thanks.
Nice. Any more questions? Because I also I'm trying to find some questions to ask. Otherwise, we would just go to the mainnet launch. That's the last section, right, Simon? Or would we want to put some open chat?
Yeah, so we have 4 minutes before the end of the hour. I think I would keep it compact and look forward for the next call. So keep it short on the mainnet roadmap information, but I think we can do maybe one or two questions if there are any more questions.
Yeah, but otherwise we can, I think in 2 weeks we can make it a bi-weekly thing. So if there are remaining questions, well, in 2 weeks, I think it's good. We can get, all right. So mainnet launch, maybe you can talk about it, Simon.
Yeah, so we talked about it in the beginning already a little bit. The road to mainnet, we have that now in an internal version where we have some visibility about the remaining steps. Our current plan is to launch on March 21st. Was it 21st? Let me have a look. That Tuesday. Yes.
It's 21st. A Sunday. It's
a Tuesday. We don't launch on weekends.
Oh.
We don't want to have that for the
okay. Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, yes, so, because I'm taking a day off for that day, and then I just forgot now. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's 5 weeks from now, roughly. We are going to have this community call sessions every So bi-weekly, every second week. We are going to publish articles on the topics that we discussed today and many more. We are working on a refinement of our logo and in general our design also on the website to make that nice and clean, to not sell ourselves under value. The next generation of the contracts that contain all the app logic will be released open source next week. We have our NoiseD binary project almost completed, so we start the testing now. And then, yeah, there will be a release of tokenomics information. I think we fixed every or solved all the challenging questions now. So we have to write it down in a way that is easily understood by someone else. And yeah, development-wise, we are going to wait for the DRAND mainnet upgrade to make sure we can include that. We are very well prepared for that. All the technological changes are already prepared in a DRAND verification library that we are maintaining. Yeah, the big last chunk of development is implementing the payment. So we have a technological architecture for that, to make sure that we do not only provide the service to users, but we can also collect the payments for it. Then we all talk to validators to make sure that everybody who wants to validate on mainnet gets a delegation. Yeah, we're going to reach out to you, to talk to you, make sure we have a nice set of validators to start with, collect the Genesis data, and then let's go. I mean, a lot of things we'll only discover after launch, and the launch is, at the end of the day, just the start of the project.
Simon, another thing is the DRAND bots. We need to make sure. So we need to get everybody who is actually interested in running a DRAND bot, but also make sure that one identity is kind of like, just to make sure that not many people have, not one person getting many bot addresses.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a question here from Lauren. I'm trying to accept that. You can unmute now.
Long, you can unmute, I think.
I just remember, so for example, if we are a chain and we want to make sure to, I'm not really sure it's a good thing or not, but if we want to also want to be a validator in the Noise network, just to make sure that we kind of it's a part of the service which we are using. Is that encouraged?
Yeah, I think why not? Absolutely. If you have the team and the capabilities to run run validators, then why not? Absolutely welcome. Mm-hmm. And if there's a close collaboration between projects in many different ways, then sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Cool. I think regarding mainnet, I'm not going to talk much more. Instead, I will focus on writing that down in a way that is easy to find for people afterwards. And that is a bit more cleaner than me just talking. I think I would hand over the mic to the last questions. And if there are none, I think we can close this one.
All right. Seems like we've answered everything. So thank you very much, guys, for coming in the call. It's been a pleasure and a really nice first community call. Let's keep in touch on Discord, and we'll share the roadmap for main roadmap. Well, it's just the what we're gonna put for these couple or 3 weeks until mainnet, and see you next. When is the next time? Next, not Friday. Next, how to say? Like in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much, guys, for joining. See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Noise Network first community call, recorded on Friday, February 17th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support, man.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
Diving through the forest, looking for the door to the portal. Said it'll take me down a corridor. I'm ignoring the warning, storing importance. The core looks sourced from ancient coordinates. Smells like musty mutants, trust me. I've been hunting bugs since the leaves started rustling. I must be getting close, yo, the scene is disgusting. Parasitic
mutation
leeching off the country. Grab a couple samples and defy their custody. Feeding gamma rays to the beast at peak velocity. Mutating awesomely, pre-say don't wanna me. Taking all the scraps and feed them to the lottery. Always evolving to defy the possibly. These are the things that will scream irresponsibly. Feeling uneasy, these genes get them off of me. I don't mean to trip, but am I mutating properly? We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. Breathing getting heavy, I can feel it in my arms, but I can't stop now.
Mutation.
It's an art form, don't be alarmed. If you see me looking odd when I'm out on the farm, spinning crop circles in your yard, reaching the stars, need a way to get across. Got this little
mutation,
lets me hack key cards. Scene looking like it came out the first three saws. Flexing like Rex when I mutate the precog. Leaders trying to research this genetic seesaw. Give me all the science and we'll leave you with the pre-slaw. Writers believe they bleed these endorsements, turning scientists into terrorist supporters. Gotta seize the spoils and release the spores. It's time to forage through DNA lore. So sink it or swim, silly Alice, take the pill and see. We're all mad here, taking over your facility. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this.
Terror Spaces.